Welcome to the countdown to 2020. Joining me is Mick Innes. My name's Brayton Astor. Mick, the footy's not too far away now.
How's good time, isn't it?
How's the off-season been?
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah, obviously nice to have a spell. It's a long year, but good to be back. It was nice getting over to Perth, seeing, especially some of the young talent coming through. And Drinkwater was good, wasn't he? Yeah, he was unreal.
You still doing the stuff for the Raiders?
How's that? Yeah, still doing a bit of stuff down there in Canberra. Going good. The boys are going all right. I think that it's this time of year where they're just keen to play some footy now. Yeah. They've been training hard for a long time. And the English blokes and that had a pretty long tour last year, so they had a good spell over the summer and came back in January. But got a game against the Bulldogs in about 10 days, 12 days' time. So it'd be good for them to have a hit out, I think.
And you're going to have the blue shirt on this year?
Do a little bit of it whenever it sort of fits.
I mean, obviously, Jeff Suvey just on the field 24/7.
They've put some guidelines around the blue shirt this year. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah. So apparently, only three times a half you're allowed on the field.
Wow.
You've got to have an interchange card.
Can you sledge on there? You'd be good at that.
Yeah, I was planning on dropping a few, but they had me mic'd up on Fox, so I had to be careful.
That would be a good boy. Hey, it's the big issues at the moment, Mick. First and foremost, Matty Lodge goes down with an ACL. Obviously, really important to the Broncos 2020 season.
Mm.
Partial tear, though. I mean, I've never had an ACL injury. Partial tear. And they're saying that he's not going to get surgery. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, it's concerning. I mean, Lodges is important to the Broncos, I think, is what Jake Trbojevic is to Manly. You know, the skill that he's got. I mean, he's obviously, 115, 110 kilo, front rower that gets through a big work rate. But it's his skill through the middle, particularly when they've got blokes like Haas and, Flegler and these guys, they're great carriers of the footy. They don't have a lot of pass in them. There's not a lot of subtlety there sort of through the middle. It's all bash and barge. And, we've seen the Broncos halves. Obviously they've got Croft there who's got a lot of pressure on him now, but it's an area where they've struggled to really have that point of difference through the middle, and Lodge has brought that, and he was close to obviously playing Origin last year. Freddie had a big rap on him, and talk over the summer when Boyd was relegated from being the captain that, he's a big voice in amongst the group and a chance of being captain there. So, massive loss for him. I have had two ACL injuries. Okay. And I remember playing with Darren Lockyer one time, and I don't know whether it was in that game that he partially tore it and then did it, or whether he did it the week before and then it went the following week. Mm-hmm. It's a massive gamble.
Yeah.
It's a massive, massive gamble because he's not that old, Lodge, and he's got a lot of footy ahead of him. You'd hate to think that it was the pressure that the Broncos are under, that they're trying to manage Lodge. But, again, I'm not a doctor. Haven't seen the scans to know sort of how bad it is.
If you don't have surgery, are you more risk of re-tearing it when you come back? Is it like that?
Well, they're saying they're going to rehab it. I mean, when I tore mine, I tore them completely, so I had to have the ACL operation, the reconstruction. But you would imagine, wouldn't you? I mean, a partial tear that at some stage it's highly likely, or you would imagine that they're certainly at more risk of fully tearing. It's just massive bluff.
They're lucky they've got some big forwards in their side.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they've got Payne Haas for feeder. Penguy Jr. This is where they are at their strongest. But like you said, there's a lot of pressure on their Haas because of last year.
Yeah, I think, I thought Haas... Haas and Fifita were enormous for them last year and to somewhat carried them at times. What you're going to get from Payne. He's a special player, but he's going to no doubt be recognised and have a target on him this year. Sides are going to have done their homework over the summer. But you're going to need a lot of consistency out of this Broncos side, and it's something that we haven't seen. We've seen a lot of...
And Matt Lodge brings that, right?
That's exactly right.
That's what you do need. I mean, you need these guys in your side. He's an enforcer too. He's intimidating.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to get every time.
He loves the battle.
He does.
He loves the battle. But, I think for someone like Offa Hengawa, who's an Origin player. And Pangai with what we've seen from him, they really need to step up now. They really need to step up, because if you look at that back line, it's as good as you get, isn't it? Really.
It is.
If Jack Bird plays fullback, you got Oates, blokes like Asako, Staggs, Boyd, it's handy.
There is a lot of questions to be asked. We'll move on to the back line because they're talking Asako is a chance of playing fullback, maybe Bird.
Yeah, I thought Asako, given the way he played in the international nines, I thought he was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought his nines tournament the other day was well below his best. And I think there's some concerns in Brisbane about, you know, I think initially the obviously Boyd didn't have a great season last year, and so they'd earmarked Asako to play fullback, and I don't know if he's come up to the mark over the summer, and that's why they, you know, Jack Bird has. He's put his head down. You've seen the photos of him and the condition that Bird's in. I played with Birdie. I love what he's about.
Yeah.
You know, I remember saying to Stick down in Canberra when, you know, the BJ Leilua situation was unfolding. I said, mate, there's only two blokes I'd have. The three blokes that I think we can go after, and, you know, Bird, Scott, and Ramian, they're the three best right centres in the game, in my opinion, in terms of longevity.
Yeah.
And Bird's obviously had his troubles, but the thing I loved about him and talking to him over the summer was, you know, he quite easily could have thrown the cue in the rack and gone, no, I want to go back to Sydney. But he's, you know, knuckled down, he's away from home, he's away from family, and he's just put his mind to it, and he wants to get back to what he's capable of doing. And I've given him a shot at fullback, and apparently from all reports he played really well up in Rockhampton the other night.
Well, he's a premiership winner, isn't he? He's a big game player, and he comes up with those clutch plays as he did for you guys at Cronulla.
Loves the big games.
So it's more, you'd think it'd more be the fitness for Bird.
Yeah.
And just, you know, mobility, running close to 300 metres a game that the stereotypical fullback these days run, right? And that's the concern with Latrell, which we'll get to later. But
yeah, would you agree that I think the area that if you look at sides, you know, like, If you look at, you know, the Roosters with Tedesco and Tupou and Morris last year, you look at the Raiders who played in the grand final with them, with Klogstad, obviously Rapiner, you know, and Kotrick. Then you go, you know,
like Parramatta, Ferguson, Sivo,
Guther. You know, so you look at that, where the modern game's at the moment, and you need the back of the field stuff to be powerful.
Yes.
And so if you look at the Broncos and you throw Bird there, he's got that mindset where he wants to run over the top of you. He wants to boot the bloke who's opposing him. You throw Asako in there, he's a great carrier of the footy.
Now you got Stags.
And Corey Oates is the modern day sort of Wendell Saylor, really, in the sense that he comes in and does that work. So all of a sudden the back of the field stuff for the Broncos takes a lot of pressure off those middlemen.
So, okay, where does that leave Darius Boyd?
I think they'll go with Stags and Boyd in the centres.
Okay.
That's where I think they'll start the season. I think they'll start the season with Bird at fullback, Oates on one wing, and then I think, you know, Asako's going to have to come up to the mark in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it'll be out of him.
Xavier Coates. You coached against him in the Origin, right?
Incredible. Mm. Yeah, an incredible talent.
And we haven't seen the best of him. I mean, he played a couple of games, but that was...
He's a kid, you know, and what he was capable of doing. I mean, that day out down at Shark Park as an 18-year-old was phenomenal. And yeah, you know, we saw what Hamaso, though, Tobias was capable of in the nines the other day.
Well, what a player he is.
Well, this kid is
where does he compare?
Advance.
Where does he compare?
Months in advance physically to where Hamaso is.
Okay.
And he's got a lot of similarities of a Greg Inglis.
Yeah. And he'll get bigger, faster, stronger over the preseason. A Broncos preseason, he'll probably look a lot. We'll probably watch him round one or two and he'll look a hell of a lot different than what he did last year, right? Yeah.
And so...
So we're saying that Boyd's going to start the season in the centres.
Yep.
But, geez, he's got some pressure on him.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I mean, is he going to last the season?
I think the pressure on Darius is within himself. You know, Darius Boyd at his best is better than...
I'd agree.
...than any in that back line in terms of what he's capable of and what we've seen for the last decade. Comes down to whether Darius wants to do it or not. Comes down to that love and that hunger.
Yeah,
he says that he still loves. He says he still wants to play. He says he's still got a lot to contribute.
Yeah.
So,
but I said that too at the back end of my career. It's kind of a question that when you're getting old, you talk yourself into it, and you're such a competitor, and you pride yourself so much in your own performance, and you've played for such a long period of time, and all you've ever wanted to do is win. But there's just that inner. There's something within yourself that maybe.
What about yourself? Like, because I know for me. I mean, you were captain there at the Roosters for a while, and then obviously when you went to the Tigers, you don't have all that distraction,
yes,
and that pressure of being a captain.
Yeah,
I found it relieving when I got to Cronulla, particularly at the back end of my career.
Yeah, I mean, he can just focus on his footy. I mean, it can be extremely stressful.
Yeah.
You're looking after the rest of the squad. You've got on field, off field issues.
Yeah.
You've got to get to know each individual personally, their families. You know. Which is a tough gig, you know.
And you look at what, you know, Seabolt came in last year and, you know, removed a couple of, you know, sort of players that have been there for a long time, and your Josh Maguire's and Cody Nicaremas and these guys. you know, James Roberts another. And Darius was the bloke that had to front every week and talk about it.
I think that's the problem, is that they've got a lack of leadership there now, and through no fault of his. It's just the way that it's panned out. And the concern now, which we go back to the Matt Lodge, is that he has shown some leadership and solidarity in the middle for their side. They're going to lose him at the start of the year. Darius Boyd now is really, even though he's not going to be their captain this year, Alex Glenn is, there's still that element of pressure to be a leader and be consistent and be that guy that turns up every week and that every other player knows that he's going to be reliable and he's going to put his heart and soul into that Broncos jersey. So a big year ahead for the Broncos and for Darius Boyd. Now we'll move on to the Sharks. The saga, ongoing saga about Josh Morris wanting a release to go to the Roosters. Now, of course, if you're the Roosters and why are we laughing? What are we laughing for? All right, so they've lost Latrell in the preseason. Billy's gone down. Billy Smith. So he's gone. They've obviously got a lack of outside backs. I think Crichton's playing, going to play in the World Club Challenge. So they're desperate. They're desperate. And Josh Morris, a senior player, experienced player, a successful player, a reliable player.
Had one of his best seasons last year.
They want him.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't he go?
Well,
why should he go? Well, what's your take on this one?
It's such a unique one because, you know, I've got a brother. I would have loved to have played, you know, footy with him, you know, and I know how close they are. I was lucky enough to play with Josh and, you know, the bond that family share. They're a really tight family. So I get it. I understand it. And
is that what it's about?
Well, that's what he's saying it's about, you know, but to me.
But is it really?
Well, if you look at what's around it, you've got Cherry, who they want to keep. And understandably, in that left centre position. He's a young kid, but he's shown enormous potential and is the future for Cronulla. So they can ill afford to lose him when Morris is really probably, whether it be this year or next year, will be his last. And then they've invested money in Ramien, who obviously had a terrific time there at Cronulla in his first couple of seasons. But you've got to remember, he was playing alongside Lewis and Maloney. Two of the best of the last decade.
Yeah.
So he goes to Newcastle and, you know, really struggled for a number of reasons. But he got an opportunity to come back to Cronulla. But in doing so, where does Josh Morris fit in, who has been one of the best centres in the game for the last decade, but now looks like he may have to play on the wing.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to do that. It's as simple as that. But for the Cronulla Sharks, when you look at this Cronulla Sharks side and you think of the Cronulla Sharks of, you know, the last few years. And you say Matt Moylan, Sean Johnson, Josh Dugan.
You know.
And then you say Josh Morris. And if you're coaching the Sharks, Moylan's had enormous injuries. Yeah. His body's let him down and has struggled to find any consistent time on the park. Johnson has been had a career that's been littered with highlights.
But inconsistency.
But a lot of inconsistency. And there's a lot of grey clouds surrounding Dugan at the moment in terms of his future at Cronulla and where that sits. So you try and sell that to the members and fans and to a young coach that wants to establish himself, that they can let a Josh Morris go. They can't do it.
Well, I'm looking from the outside in, Mick. I'm looking from the outside in, and I'm looking at Josh Morris, who has seen it all, right? I think the Sharks are struggling. I mean, you may know better than me, but they look like they've lost their DNA. They're not the side that they were, you know, when you were playing there. They've lost that aura. They've lost that consistency, that ruthlessness, that you know, you just knew what you were going to get out of yourself. Paul Gallen, Luke Lewis, Pryor's gone. You know, these guys just turned up every week. You lived it, right? But they've lost that. And maybe Josh Morris is seeing that. And he's seeing the temperamental side that he has around him. This mix of young guys with the world at their feet, but also the likes of Dugan, which you never know what you're going to get. The Sean Johnson, who could be the best player in the world, but then the next day you wouldn't know he's on the field.
Yep.
You know, and if I'm Josh, I'm thinking, well, if I go to the Roosters, I can win a premiership.
And having to play out of position.
And play out of position. He's thinking, I can win a premiership at the Roosters or I can stay here.
Yeah.
But I feel like the ship's kind of sinking. You know, I don't want to go down with it. That could be a bit harsh. That's what I'm hearing rumours too out of the you know, the unrest, the board level out there. I'm really hearing a lot going on. I don't like it. I think they're going to struggle this year, and maybe Josh is thinking the same.
Yeah, look.
You don't need to go any further, Mick. I know it's a bit of a...
No, yeah. It's just, you know, it's hard, mate, because, you know, what was there in 15 and 16 was, mate, really special.
They're,
know,
very different, and, but you've got to admit,
completely,
right?
Different.
It's a totally different DNA and makeup.
Completely different. Completely different. And, you know...
So how has that changed, but?
Well...
Just through, like, the players moving on or leaving, or, like, how can that change?
A combination of both. You know, obviously when you win a premiership, you know, we've seen it with a lot of sides, yeah, that the salary cap takes effect and players are worth more and they make representative teams. They've lost a lot of experience. You know, you mentioned Gallen, you know, Lewis... James Maloney, you know, and another great player there, you know, so that they've lost a, you know, Matt Pryor, I thought, you know, was, you know, highly underrated. Chris Hynington, guys like that. Yeah. So they've lost a lot of experience and, you know, at the same time, they've gone and invested in blokes like Moylan and Johnson and Dugan. And they just, to be fair, Braith, they haven't come up to the mark. Like they just,
and they still
whether
could.
It's injury.
They still could.
Or whether it's consistency.
Yeah.
They haven't.
Yeah.
They haven't reflected. What that Cronulla side was in 15 and 16.
And it still can happen, and I'm not writing them off. And, you know, those guys, it's way too talented for them not to succeed throughout 2020, but there's a big question mark over them now.
It's a big challenge for Blake Brayley. You know, as a former dummy half, to think that Blake, you know, got a little bit of time there last year, sharing the role with his brother. But obviously, Jaden going to Newcastle. Now they've got Cameron King there who has played, you know, a bit of first grade, but had his injury troubles as well. And, you know, for a young Blake Brayley who's got he's got so much natural ability, you know, in a side now with, you know, a lot of experience gone in such a key position, it's a big ask. It's a big ask for him to get out 26 weeks. So I'll be intrigued because I really like Blake. He's a good kid, comes from a great family, and had a lot of success in the lower grades. And he's got the attributes to be a really good dummy half. But to ask him to play 80 minutes in 26 weeks, or, you know, is going to be interesting.
Yep, it's going to be a big year for Blake. But let's go back to the possible release of Josh just quickly. The player swap, possible player swap.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, the Sharks, if they're going to let Morris go, they have to get someone, you know, in return.
Now we're talking about with the Roosters.
That's right. We're hearing Lindsay Collins as a possibility. Now, I don't mind that because I think Lindsay's shown potential, and when you've lost someone like Pryor, yeah, you know, he's similar in some ways. You know, probably hasn't achieved what Matt's achieved in his career, but he's got those attributes where he's aggressive and he's got a good work rate through the middle. And when you've got Andrew Fifita, who we understand is still struggling a bit with a knee injury, and Aaron Woods, who over the last few years has spent a lot of time coming off the bench, and Ueli only plays limited minutes, no Paul Gallen in the side and no Matt Pryor, that you would imagine a middle forward would be a handy pickup. In terms of the outside backs, we're hearing Ryan Hall. I wouldn't go there if I was John Morris. I just don't don't think he's offered anything. I mean, he's obviously had he's had the ACL injury and stuff as well, but I wouldn't be going there. But, you know, if I'm John Morris, I'm saying no thank you to either. I'm saying if you're going to send me someone, send me Nat Butcher, send me a Mitch Orbison, someone. You know, Josh Morris is
want someone with similar credentials, right?
Absolutely.
And who's been there and done it, and you know what you're going to get. You're not rolling the dice.
They're not going to give him a Joseph Manu. Like, they're not going to give. They're not going to give someone like.
Why not?
One of the best.
You never know. They might just say, mate, you can take Joey if you want.
They take today.
That's a million to one. It's a million to one. You know, Uncle Nick might be feeling good today, mate.
Send him on his way, you reckon?
Yep.
No chance.
Concerns over Moylan. We don't want to go too far into this. We just spoke about Moylan, but his fitness and his attitude ahead of 2020.
Yep.
Where is he at? Have you heard any whispers?
Obviously, probably you heard the same as you, where he's, you know, again, he's battled through the summer with injury. Some say hamstring, some say calf. So it's really concerning. I mean, he's on good money down there at Cronulla. He's a marquee player, and you need so much from your marquee player. And this is where I draw it back, Braith, that the clubs need to be so selective with their recruitment. I mean, you've got to, when you sign a marquee player, you've got to get so much more than just that contribution on the field. When you sign a marquee player, let's say you sign them for 800,000, 500's got to be for that contribution on the field, but the other 300,000, has to be for what they contribute in mm-hmm. terms of making the place better.
Yeah.
You know, and the example that they set for the young blokes coming through. And, yeah, that's where Matt's got to get to. Yeah, he's got to start and lead the way in that area mm. And that find that professionalism to yep. be able to get his body right. Now, I know at times, you know, things are out of your control mm-hmm. and those soft tissue ones can be a tricky one. But I just see Matty Moylan as that lovable character, the larrikin, with so much potential. But I want to see him take yeah. that next step. And, you know, being a marquee bloke at Cronulla, he needs to really step up that leadership now, the fact that blokes like Gallen and Pryor and Lewis yeah. and that have departed over the last couple of seasons.
I think you bring up a great point there, and we'll probably talk about it when we do this again, but just with a marquee player, overspending just on their talent alone
can't do
can
it.
Come back to bite you. Yeah. And I think a lot of clubs have seen that over the past few seasons. And
you've got to be you got to know what the fabric of your club is, mm-hmm. and therefore you've got to be so selective of who you bring through the door.
It's the old DNA like we were talking about earlier, right?
Well, you got it. Yeah.
The Roosters of Melbourne, I mean, they do that really well. Melbourne have done it for forever.
Yeah. Well, you know, and yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
All right. On to the next one, mate. The Dragons. I know the Dragons supporters.
Big year, mate.
Big year.
Big year for the Dragons.
Oh, listen, I know, you know, they're so passionate, the supporters, and they love their footy, and we love them. And I'm sure this year they really are hoping their side deliver. Which they've been underwhelming. There's no doubt about that over the past few seasons. They tend to start so well.
Yeah.
But this isn't a good start, the Nines.
I've got grave. Well,
is the Nines
concerns.
A good start or a bad
I've got
start?
Grave concerns for the Dragons.
Okay. Tell me why.
I'm not sold that Zach Lomax is a fullback yet. Okay. And I don't want to put a line through him because he's still so young and I haven't seen him play a lot there. I just don't know if he's the fullback that mm-hmm. the Dragons need. And I think that they. You know, you look at this back line that they've, you know, is potentially their back line in terms of Saylor, Laffey, Aitken and Saab. You know, when you compare that, you know, to the Roosters, to the Raiders, to South Sydney.
Parramatta. Cowboys,
yeah. That
It's quite a young and inexperienced side.
That's right.
And probably guys who haven't been at their best either, like a mix, right? Laffey and,
yep.
and Aitken.
Yep.
But they need better out of those guys. But, okay, so let's – there's huge concerns as it is, but what about the Nines?
Oh, look, it was a great tournament for them, but it's ended on a sour note with the injuries they've picked up. Because, when I think of someone – we just spoke about it with the Sharks yeah. in terms of, you know, people that live and breathe what that example that you want to set. And all I can think of the Dragons in such a dismal – season that they had last year was Cameron McInnes in that charge down where he raced another 60 metres downfield and won the fight to get to the ball while two other players, you know, were trying to get to it. He's such a big loss.
You know,
12 weeks, if we're hearing, is, you know, I know Isaac Luke's come over and they're lucky that they picked up Isaac because he's a handy player, obviously.
Is he still got it, Isaac?
I think he can. I do. Yeah, I do. I've always liked Isaac to play. He's a great ball runner, and I think that a ball runner at the Dragons, whenever we've seen McInnes run, I think we've seen the best of Hunt because it takes pressure off him having to create. So if we can get some offload, you know, from guys like Vaughan and Merrin and, you know, Tarek Sims and get Isaac playing off the back of that second phase footy, then I think that takes a lot of pressure off the halves. But, I mean...
They're lucky they bought Isaac now.
Yeah, but can he play 80? You know, like probably not.
No.
Probably not. I think he's more effective when he's at that 55, 60-minute mark.
You may have to.
But, you know, we're already hearing, you know, that the situation unfolded in the weekend about Tyson Frizzell and this Newcastle that's not going.
They don't need that.
You know.
They don't need that.
And, you know, the spotlight's on Ben Hunt. The spotlight's on Ben Hunt this year. You know, like he needs a big year, Benny.
He said he's been saying throughout the week that he shares leading the team around with Corey Norman. Should he be taking full control, or are you happy with that?
I've got no problem with that.
Yeah.
I've got no problem with that because I've played in sides, you know, where the halfback's been the dominant player, you know, at Canterbury with Brett Camorley, called the shots. Loved calling the shots. It was comfortable to him and it worked.
Mm.
And at Cronulla, it was James Maloney who wore the six
that
called the shots, and Chad Townsend you know, steered the side around and called field positions. But James essentially, at times, you know, played the majority in terms of calling the set pieces.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with that. I just my big concern is I really like Ben Hunt at dummy half.
Okay.
Just because I think he's it takes away that. That traditional having to run the side, control the side, come up with the big plays in the big moments, and he's got great instinct on the game, and he's a strong ball runner, and he's got a good kicking game out of dummy half, and he's a strong defender, he's a strong under the ball defender. There's no surprising that's why Queensland play him there. But he's been brought to the Dragons to play.
That's right. But that also explains why he does share the leadership. And directing the side around with Norman, because he doesn't thrive off that. He doesn't get a kick out of that. That to him, it's an expectation he probably doesn't want or need. So when he goes into that number nine, he tends to play better, right?
Yeah. I ask you this. When you're watching the Dragons play and the big moments come, the really big moments, do you have concerns over whether Hunt can get it done?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't shown enough evidence, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm totally honest, if it's a big moment, I'm kind of thinking Corey Norman more than Hunt. But that's not to say that Hunt can't, because we've seen him deliver big moments, but not enough, right?
No, and it's just that's where he's got to get to, Benny. You know, I think if this Dragon side are to...
Maybe if he did say, you know what, this is my team, I own it, let's do this, boys.
Yeah.
You know, I want to take some control, get on the back of me. The last two seasons haven't worked.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously a reason for it. Mate, let's do this. You know, and then the other guys might go. Oh, you know, they might fire up and go. All right, he's our leader. He's our man. Let's do this, Benny. Like, maybe he does need a change. Maybe he's got to stop being so easygoing and just content with where he's at, because the results really aren't suggesting that they are doing well enough. Now, I went through the back. I went through a little bit of halves. I don't think it is a concern if they want to share the workload. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the premiership winners, 2014, Reynolds and Keary. I mean, sure, I'm sure they would have shared that around a bit themselves. 2015, Thurston and Morgan, that's a dominant half.
Yeah, that's a dominant.
And whenever Cronk's won premierships.
But I think if you look at that too, though, Braith, I mean, that was probably the art of the Cowboys back then, was the fact that Thurston was such a focal point that when Morgan did step up, it was almost unexpected.
Yeah.
And his game went to a new level, because he also then started to develop some leadership, which you saw when Thurston was out injured, and he went to halfback. And had a tremendous back end of the year.
Yeah. Well, it does take the pressure off it, doesn't it? Your other half, if one is more dominant.
It does. And there are guys,
you
would know that.
Yeah, definitely.
That some guys just thrive on being the shot caller and love steering the side around the park. Chad Townsend's a perfect example of that. Loves calling the field positions, loves steering the side around. And then Maloney was just the bloke that would sit back and pick his moments and then call the big shots. So, and Chad was comfortable being that person. You know, and that's why he's been consistent for so long.
Can I get your take on the Nines? Just
on the tournament.
On the tournament, not the Dragons. On the tournament. So, you know, and I will refer to the Dragons, because I actually think they got punished for trying hard, for using the Nines as a genuine lead up. Sounding board for the season proper in 2020. Yep. They took a strong side. They went hard. They wanted to win, which I love. And they come out with three injuries. Now, other sides didn't send their best. What reward? Is it a case of everyone has to send their best? Or, I don't know, where are we at with
the timing of it? The timing of it, you know, as exciting as it is. And I thought, honestly, I'm not just saying because I work here, the access and the coverage I thought on Fox, it was unreal. It was great. It was great to see footy back and talking to everyone they loved. You know, seeing it back and talking about the young kids, talking about drink water, talking about Hammerstone, talking about Tau Malolo, you know, kick out all these blokes. So it was great to have it back on. But the fact of with what's happened now to the Dragons just means that next year when it rolls around, you know, our side's going to send their best. Now, if you look at where the competition's at, Braith, the amount of scrutiny on coaches and on teams to perform, I thought was evident in what we saw at the Nines, in the sense that Dragons have battled and they're a passionate club in the regular season. So they sent a good side to try and springboard their season. Penrith haven't come up to the mark. They've had been earmarked with potential for so many years now, and kids with so much talent, and haven't delivered. they sent a cracking side. Look at the Cowboys, underperformed the last couple of years, under pressure, sent a great side and won it. And all of a sudden, confidence starts to grow. But you look at the sides that know the business is a month away. Now, I know the Roosters had a reason, you know, obviously going to play the World Club Challenge. So I understand that. But would they have still sent Tedesco and, you know, Luke Keary and Toki Aho? No, probably not. The Raiders, they know what's coming. You know, Ricky Stewart's not going to risk a Josh Hodgson or a Jack White. They're just not going to do it. You know, South Sydney, still sent a good side.
They've got a bit to prove too.
And they do. But Cameron Murray and Damien Cook, great, no worries. But you still didn't see Adam Reynolds. You didn't see Latrell Mitchell. Walker. You didn't see Cody Walker. Mm. You know what I mean?
The top seven sides
that
finished top seven out of the top eight sides in 2019 in the regular season, they lost day one.
How's this for an idea? So talking to Ricky Stewart about it, because I want to know how coaches think about that nine situation. He said, righto, why don't we on the Friday and Saturday of the prelim weekend have a nines tournament, keeps all the fans invested of the sides that haven't made the finals and the sides that have been beaten over the last couple of weeks.
I already like it.
Are still conditioned. You throw the carrot into the players and say, listen, there's a big prize pool here. Yeah. So they get an opportunity to earn a bit of extra cash, which then they've got 6 months or, you know, they've got their preseason and holidays coming up. So that's enticing for them. And then on the Sunday, we have our two prelims as a doubleheader. And all of a sudden you get this whole weekend where all the fans are engaged, invested.
It's a good concept.
And the clubs don't feel at risk in terms of losing one of their players because they've got, you know, if someone twists an ankle or if someone, you know, gets a cork or a bump shoulder, then, you know, they've got 6 months off.
But
at the same time, they've played 20-odd rounds, Braith,
and
they're conditioned. You know, we're going into that competition the other day that was fast, frenetic, at full steam, full contact. Blokes have been training for 5 months for it.
Yep.
Yet they hadn't played a game. So I like it. I think it.
I like it too. It's a great spectacle. And again, it's been a long pre-season. People are sick of the cricket. They want to see some rugby league and, you know, and all that. But it's just, it's hard to get it exactly where we want it to get it. I don't think we ever will because teams and players and coaches are all preparing for different things and have different expectations. And it's just, obviously, the risk of injury is way too high. But we, at the end of the day, it's still a fun tournament. We enjoyed it here.
I don't think Mary would have slept. I still don't
think he would have slept. No, I don't think he has. I mean, he's been up. He's been on a bender ever since. All right, Mick, let's have a look at the Bunnies now. Big talking point over the past couple of days has been who should be the captain of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, which is a very prestigious club. I mean, it's a huge honour. It's a massive honour. When I grew up in the area, played for Maroubra Lions.
Yep.
My Uncle George, captain of the club. So it's massive, right? Who?
The March.
I marched.
Yeah.
I marched. I was there with my Oakley sunnies on and my singlet.
Frog skins.
Oh, look, I see some photos and I think, what the hell were you thinking? With my mullet. I had a mullet as well.
Yeah, good.
Those were the days.
Mate, to answer your question, I think there's a number of candidates there. You know, some guys have shown some really good leadership, you know, in this South side. You know, and they're a proud club, but it's a big role. Reynolds would be capable of it, but I just don't know if it would sit well with his game. And, you know, he's a larrikin.
Yeah.
He's good fun, you know. And sometimes you don't want to take that away from your key playmaker who's comfortable being who he is.
Yeah.
Damien Cook, Damien's rise over the last, you know, 2 to 3 seasons has been terrific and without doubt one of the best hookers in the game at the moment. I like Cameron Murray. I just think he just exudes what you want from a skipper. I just think he's got great temperament.
Mm.
He leads with his actions, and he's just a super player. He's a super player.
I think if you look at Murray, he would be the perfect captain. We don't know what he's like. Well, I don't know what he's like inside the rope, so to speak, behind closed doors, if he's vocal, if he's not, I'm not too sure.
I think just with his humility, you know, at 23, he's probably not comfortable with it.
Mm.
But I think that's the role of Bennett and people at the club to say, no, mate, this is, you've got this. Like you are, you are held in the highest regard here. Mm. And, you know, this is a bloke that should be at South Sydney for the next 10 years.
Well, you're actually spot on, Mick, because I'm pretty sure they'd love Murray to be the captain.
Mm.
But I think there are some reservations there. I don't think there should be.
No.
And this kid could captain New South Wales and Australia for many years. I mean, Boy Corder's ahead of him, but he's only young. You mentioned it. He's consistent. He leads with his actions on the field. He's got a great image.
From what you understand.
He's got a great image.
Yeah.
He's marketable. I mean, he's good in front of the media. All the players respect him. I just don't – I mean, you're right. Like, I mean, Cook probably doesn't need the extra responsibility, I don't think. I think he's got some – you know, he's got to take care of things on the field and he's got his hands full. Reynolds, I think, is a little bit leaning towards the back end. He's got a lot to prove himself, I believe, on the field.
Yep.
And probably doesn't need the off-field distraction.
Mm.
And that's probably the only other two I'd consider at this stage.
Now, I like the charismatic ways of Reynolds and Walker. I like the way they combine and play together. And I wouldn't want to lose that by throwing too much spotlight and added responsibility on either of those two. Cook, for me, I think you're right. I think Damien's a leader anyway in amongst the group. But I just think in terms of your captain, Cameron Murray's your man.
I'd have no problem giving it to Cook, mind you.
No.
Yeah.
There'd be no – if they come out, if Bennett comes out in the next week or two and says, Damien Cook, no worries. You mean, you're there every day. He's professional. He's at the peak of his powers in terms of the way he's playing. I just like Murray.
I agree. Now,
Latrell Mitchell. What a summer it's been.
Yeah, and everyone's had their opinion. Everyone's had their take on whether he will succeed at fullback or not. Now it's our turn. I mean, we've spoken about this, Mick, over the preseason on news, on Fox News, and all of that. Where are you at now with that?
Latrell Mitchell's a player that's capable of doing things that others can't. We know that. Like, he's a strike player. I haven't seen – like, I know we compare him a lot to Greg. And Greg obviously made a really good transition to fullback. Latrell's capable of doing that. I just want to see more. I want to see more.
Hmm.
I want to see more in terms of, you know, we look at that modern game. We just spoke about it before in terms of how important your back three are these days and their effort to start your set. Now he's going to need to get through some miles. He's going to need to do a lot of work. Because if you think of when South Sydney were at their best, when they won that competition, how influential Greg was and how important he was to Reynolds and Keary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Latrell's got that ability to do that. I mean, a wonderful point scorer. But, you know, there were times, Braith, where we'd commentate in games last year and you didn't notice Latrell. Yeah. He'd had 2-3 carries in the first half. Now, yeah, sure, he might score 3 tries the next half.
Yeah.
But he was on the end of a lot of stuff from Tedesco and Keary. So, I want to see some hunger. Yeah. I want to see him go after the contest. I want to see him energetic, and I want to see, you know, I love you see the promos to the start of the year. You see Latrell when he gets interviewed; he's got this beautiful smile on his face, and he looks really happy. But I want to see some real purpose about what he does.
Yeah, I think you're right, Mick. He looks happy. Latrell looks happy, which is a really good thing. He's close to one of the best players in the game when he's at his best. I think he was the best centre in the game again when he's at his best, because consistently, you know, performing at an optimum week in and week out has been his downfall. It's been his Achilles heel. You cannot afford to do that at fullback. And I think we've got to be patient with him. I know that Wayne would be, right? I know that Wayne would be, and the expectations are quite high from everyone, but it's going to be hard to step straight on the field as a fullback in the NRL competition, running close to the high 200s, if he can, and have the impact that he had at centre. It's just going to be such a big ask. So even if he does get it right, which we know he can, we think he can, it's going to take some time, right?
I think the attack stuff, as long as he's conditioned, I think it can evolve, and I'm with you.
Hmm.
I think it can. There's so much more that goes into being a fullback these days.
And
that was set by the great Billy Slater in terms of your communication and defensively orchestrating your defensive line around. And that's where I think the challenge will be, because you can just ill afford to be out of the game for a moment. If you don't get the numbers right on a short side, Kiri and Tedesco will burn you. If you don't pull your middles back to the right position, a Josh Hodgson or a Cameron Smith will carve you. And he just can't fall out of the contest. Now, I've worked with Bennett, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man manager. He will have Latrell feeling as good as he's ever felt. And he will give him the confidence in him to believe and be comfortable in the person that he is. So when Latrell puts on his boots on a Friday night, he will be ready to go. But Wayne can only walk him to the door, and then it's going to have to come down to Latrell. And Latrell's got what it takes to be one of the best in the competition for the next decade. He's just got to want to do it.
When you were talking through that, I was visualising him on the field, and you said it before, you and myself called it all of his games last year, and I think the most important thing for a fullback is your work off the ball when no one's watching, right? But when we're at games and we're on top from the comm box and we're looking down at Latrell and we've got an eye on him because he's that type of player, right? His work off the ball is not good.
No.
He's not good. You know, he tends to get a bit lazy, and when it's not big time, lights are on, it's your turn, he tends to be a little bit lazy. You just can't clock off. You can't be like that at fullback. So he's going to be tested in every single way possible this year. I'm excited about it. I mean, we've had our opinions. Everyone's had their opinions, but soon we'll find out.
We get a look Saturday night.
That's right.
In the All-Stars.
All right, so let's move on to the coach. You just spoke about it. I mean, you've been coached by Wayne. Has he lost his luster?
I don't think so. I mean, Wayne's a unique coach, and that's why he's been able to have the success and the longevity that he has. The key for Wayne now is to making sure that he's got good people around him, you know, because his man management skills and what I spoke about are as good as any. You know, he's got a great relationship with his players. One of the big things for players is the environment. When you want to come to work and you're happy, you tend to play well, and he provides that. And we saw that in South Sydney last year, that the minute that he came in, they were so happy over the summer. Yeah, they'd had a great season under Seabolt, and they have a good roster. I get that. But their form in that opening 3 months, particularly players like Cody Walker, was incredible. They didn't have the back end of the season that they would have liked. And I mean, there's no doubt he's coming towards the end. I think he's 70 this year. I was concerned with I'd be lying if I said I wasn't concerned, and I got a great relationship with Wayne, and I'd say this to him. I was concerned with some of the selections that he went with in the English
setup. Oh, yeah, that was
a concern. You know,
maybe that has clouded people a little bit.
I think it has. Mm. You know, but you've got to remember, prior to that, he'd had a pretty successful period with the England side, in their previous tournaments, but it was a disappointing campaign. And I think the fact that so many blokes had gone into that side in such great form and probably didn't have their happiest tournament, along with the highlighted English media, led to his tenure coming to an end. And
they didn't like him, did they?
No, not in the back end. No, it seemed that way.
The players the ex-players, and everyone comes out. The knives start coming from everywhere. We've seen that before.
You talk to the players that had him; they loved him. They loved him.
I actually think last year, Mick, like I was worried about South before the season. They'd lost some outside. They'd lost GI. You know, they didn't have Latrell there. Braden Burns got injured early on. James Roberts wasn't at the club, if I remember correctly. Was he there early in the year? He wasn't, right?
No.
They had some. Their squad, I thought 1-17. I thought they'd struggle last year to make the finals. And then he come out of the blocks, and he had them premiership favourites at one stage, or up there around the top. I don't believe any other coach apart from Wayne Bennett would have been able to get that side with the roster that he had in the position they were in last year.
Yeah.
I don't think he's lost his luster at all. But what I will say is that this year will test him probably more than any other, with no Sam Burgess there.
Yep.
The injection of Latrell and the question mark over him and his position there, and if it doesn't work, where to next? And I still think they're a little bit skinny with the outside backs and forwards. I don't think they've got great depth at the club like they used to, or they have done for the last sort of 5, 6, 7 years. So it's going to be a big challenge for him this year.
I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. I think, you know, the ability this year to, you know, even though they lost GI at the start of last year, he was still around, you know, and the players didn't have a moment to really think, oh, Greg's not going to be in our side. It all happened so quickly, but the season was underway and you know, it was all systems go, and they still had Sim. That's the challenge. I mean, I know George Burgess isn't there this year. They've relied so much on that power game with George, Tom and Sam for such a long period of time, and now not to have George or Sam there. Sam's that bloke that you come in the change room Sunday afternoon and you look around, he's pulling his boots on, and you know you're a chance. You know you're a chance because he's a winner. And he was one of the best forwards that have laced up a boot in this competition. And, you know, they have to do that without him. It's a massive, massive loss. And I question their depth as well. So huge test for Bennett this year.
He's going to be a big loss, Sammy. Mm. But the good thing is we're going to have him here on Fox League, Mick. So
very, very handy.
Very handy to have. Handy, part of the team.
Bit of fun, Sammy.
Bit of fun he is. Maybe too much fun, Sam, at times.
That's why you'll be with Matty Johns, I think.
Naughty boy. Got to keep him in check. Let's move on to your side, Mick, the Raiders.
Yep.
Well, you know, last year, we all know it was an incredible year. You were a part of it. But the standout, Jack Whiten, what a season he had. What a season he had. What are your expectations? What will he bring this year?
Oh, I think he'll be better.
Ooh,
yeah, I think he'll be
that's
better.
That's scary.
Yeah, I think the sense that he's 12 months into his tenure now as a 5'8", you know, he spent that summer last year quite incredibly transitioning between fullback and 5'8".
Yeah.
And it wasn't until a month out from the trial period where the club was able to pick up Klogstad that they really set it in stone that Jack had played 5'8". And he just grew and grew and grew every week. And his leadership and the quality in which he's training at, on the back of that taste of Origin and playing with those good players, on the back of a final series that he's had, he came back in tip-top shape in summer, ready to attack. There's no complacency about him at all. He's still burning from not winning that grand final. He looks like a thoroughbred racehorse. Yeah. He's so fit at the moment and strong.
I couldn't believe the transition, like you mentioned, from fullback to 5'8", and how easy he made it look. But also, I think he got better. Like, he's kicking game, right?
It was,
his kicking game, Mick.
That's the key.
His passing game.
Yeah.
The short pass or the long pass.
Yep.
He didn't look uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it got better as the season went on.
Incredible that he was able to do what he did at 5'8", and at the drop of a hat, be one of New South Wales' best at centre in a position that he hadn't played for 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was.
Well, he'll keep Latrell out of that position again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Again.
Yeah.
In the centres.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, at the pinch, you know, could quite easily fit into that 5'8 role that's been left vacant by James Maloney. And I think, I know everyone's saying Luke Keary will go into that position, but, you know, like if Latrell Mitchell starts his season on fire and he's busy and he's energetic and he's ticking all those boxes that Freddie wants.
Yeah.
And for some reason or another, Keary's not playing that well. Mate, Whiten's your ideal.
Yeah, I reckon.
Origin for
he'd be walk up, actually. Yeah. He'd be walk up start.
But his left foot kick and chase and the aggression in which he does so puts the fear in opposition, fullbacks and wingers, because they just see this bloke who's 100 kilos charging downfield.
He's aggressive too.
And he just wants to annihilate you.
Now, I'm going to ask you this. I've got a bit of a concern, right? With the Raiders. Now, you mentioned that the burning desire. Do they all, first, I'll ask you soon, but do they all have that burning desire? Because it's not easy to get so close and have the heartbreak that they had, right?
Yeah.
In an amazing season, and then to come back the next year and deliver it again, it's a huge test that I'm sure yourself and Ricky and the coaching staff are all over, right? But that's the challenge. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But I think the fact that they'd had so many near misses and probably those two seasons where they missed the finals, so they had a real good taste of what it's like to not be a part of September, as well as that near miss in 16 where they got beaten in the prelim by Melbourne and probably should have won that and got to a grand final. And seeing ANZ Stadium on grand final night, I think the despair when they walked off the field, knowing that all week everyone said it was the Roosters by how many.
Yeah.
And they were probably the better side, I think, for the majority of the contest. But the class of a couple of individuals at the Roosters in the big moments, and that's what those games are about, left them desperate. And I think the way that the staff have been able to manipulate the off-season to drive that burn and that desire – I think in a unique way, and I say this wholeheartedly, as challenging and as sad as it was to see the fires over the summer and what that did to New South Wales and the Victorian coast, for the Raiders to be able to bunker down for 2 weeks together on the Sunshine Coast brought the group even closer, and I thought it worked wonders, particularly for George Williams to be able to fit into the group. Mm. So I'm expecting the Raiders to,
because there are a few changes. You got Williams in a key position. Then you mean BJ Leilua and Rapana, you know, for a long time have been really, really good on that right hand edge.
Yeah, they have been. They have been, and you know, it's,
I know you've got the players to come in and take the, you know, fill the void, so to speak. But
yeah, well, the growth of Simonson has been superb. Like Bailey is just
Kytrick, Nicol Clockstad, all those boys.
And you know, obviously the Curtis Scott situation is where it's at the moment. But if Curtis can get onto the park sooner than later, his pre-season it's been excellent. He's come with a real mentality of wanting to get back to his best, and he loves and has relished that relationship. He's Ricky Stewart, isn't he? I mean, you work with Rick. Yeah. He's that type of player that Ricky loves.
Ricky loves him. Loves him.
And so Curtis has really found a home there. So fingers crossed. He's a top kid. He's had a good summer, and get him on the park. But time will tell, mate. Yeah. You know, time will tell.
The only reason the only reason I ask, in 2010, we got so close with the Roosters, and we kind of had this dream run, you know, Toddy Carney, Mitchell Pearce, Friendly, playing footy with Brian Smith, and we got close. We're winning at half time against the Dragons, should have been leading by more. Starts raining, we lose. And then the next year we got the spoon, right? Which is not to say it's gonna happen. But then they won in 2013. Yeah. So and half of that team were in that squad. So they'd obviously got so close, but it took them a bit. They had a hangover. They had a bit of a hangover.
Bulldogs,
you know?
13. Well, we made the finals, but the danger for sides, I think, Braith, is that when that same core group stay together, that there's so much enjoyment at the back end of that season when you get to the big games, that it's such a wave that the next year, I don't know whether it's complacency or whether it's just you just get into this habit or get into this way of thinking of we'll get there, but we just want to get to the big games. Mm. They just want to get back there, and they forget what was important in the previous season in terms of building the blocks to get there. And so they're waiting all season, just coasting and coasting, thinking that they'll get back there with that same group and be able to turn it on. And before you know it, the season gets away from you. So I think for the Raiders, the first 6 weeks is vital.
Yes.
To not to go out and win every game, but to get those pillars in place of what was important in that season.
Yep.
And that's what Melbourne. That's where you take your hat off to Melbourne, because year after year,
incredible.
They strip it back, and in that first month they'll win 14-10, they'll win 18-6, and they're just building this defensive resilience that at the back end of the year holds up.
I won't go into Melbourne, but I looked at their squad yesterday, and everyone's thinking, when are they going to fall off the perch? They'll be there. They'll be there. They'll be there again. Now the Cowboys.
Yep.
Val Holmes comes back. Do you think we'll just pick up where he left off?
Yep.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is that?
Massive year. I just know the athlete, and I love the personality of him. He's got this, unless something changed, and I've spoken to Val a couple of times, but unless something changed dramatically in his time in the States, this is a kid that's just got no fear of failure. He's got the heart of a lion. He's courageous. Yeah, I think back to when I played with him, and you'd put kick pressure on and you'd be knackered and you'd look and you'd see Val sprinting 30 metres to catch a ball on full, and he'd just accelerate into the line and inspire his teammates. And this was at 19, 20 years of age. So maturity is starting to come in now. He loves that fullback position. I thought it took him 12 months to really find his way as a fullback, and I felt like at Cronulla, with the success of Barber, they tried to make him Barber, and he's not Barber.
No.
You know, he's a runner. Mm. You know, he's similar to a Sheck and a Klogstad, where his passing will develop over time. But just think of the way that Drinkwater played in the nines, and that exuberance that he plays with, the off-the-cuff ball running that Morgan plays with. Tau Malolo, I think, has been so conservative and so powerful for so long, but at times we saw an inkling last year of some offload. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the next part of his game that can really – because, he shakes off defenders at will, but at times just fights to play the ball. But now he's starting to create some second phase. I think Val will have a massive year.
Yeah, I'm like you. I think that he's an athlete. He'll be ready and raring to go. He'll be in tip-top shape. And I think it's great timing.
Just on the Cowboys, yeah. I don't know if this is true, but I'm hearing that maybe we'll see a back line of Clifford and Drinkwater as the halves.
Mm-hmm.
And Usain Masters and Michael Morgan as the centres.
I don't mind that.
With Holmes at fullback.
Yeah, I don't mind that. And I was just about to say, quickly, Mick, that a lot of it with the Holmes is great timing because of that. Mm. Drinkwater is in good form. We've seen that.
Yep.
He hasn't had much of an opportunity. He gets it. He's got quality around him. And Usain Masters was the best outside back at the Tigers and is a great buy.
And the way that Green has recruited Robson, I think, from what I saw on the weekend, has reignited Granville.
Mm.
He ran the footy a lot more than I've seen in the last 2 years. And at the same time, when he starts to deteriorate and his work starts to fatigue, which is where we've seen him at times, his pass quality hasn't been great. That's when Robson can come on and bring that injection. He's a good player too. So around the ruck, you know, they're starting to build some youth around that spine with Robson. And if Clifford gets hold of this jersey at number 7 and establishes himself, because Drinkwater could be anything.
Right. We tend to forget they've still got Maguire, they've still got McLean, Taumalolo, they've got the forwards.
Mm. Asiata.
They're my Smokey for the season. They're my big improvers. I don't know if they can win the comp, but they're definitely going to improve a lot.
Well, they have to, Braith. They have to.
They will. I think they will.
Yeah, I do too.
I think they will.
But they have to.
And I think they will. There's a lot of teams. You know what? Everyone has to, but... Yeah. I think it's a very open competition. I think it's a very open competition. The Roosters.
No Gronk.
No Gronk. Latrell. No Latrell going for 3 in a row. It opens up the field. Very unlikely that they will do it.
There's a couple I've got some concerns on there.
Well, let's move on to some general chat.
Yep.
Which coach is under the most pressure?
Oh, this is.
I hate this. I don't like talking about this. But anyway, I'll ask you, so who's going to get punted, Mick?
Oh.
And how long will it take?
Yeah, look, you know, again, I don't think these guys would find this a surprise if they saw me saying this, that I think Greeny needs a big year at the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I think Mary needs a big year at the Dragons. There's no doubting that. I know they're probably not under the spotlight of getting the punt yet. But I think Seabolt and Cleary need big years at their respective clubs.
Yeah, you're right.
But the one for me, and it only highlighted this weekend, and I know they didn't send some of their bigger names.
I know who you're going to say.
And he's the nicest bloke in the universe. He is the nicest bloke in the world. Is Steve Kearney. Mm. I just don't like what I'm seeing from the Warriors.
I don't either.
I really, really don't, Brayton.
What's going on with them? Mate,
they looked unfit. They look.
How bad were they? Like every, and we said at the top of the show, every team that needed to give evidence or suggest that they'd had a big preseason, and went or has a point to prove, went to that Nines and used that tournament for that. Yep. They didn't.
And on the language coming out of there concerns me, because they've been a side that's lacked so much consistency. And when Alex Corvo went there as the trainer, who had been at the Storm and the Broncos for such a long time, as well as the Australian team, do you remember a season or two ago, might have even been 3, where the first month we were like, wow, look at the body shapes on these blokes. Physically, you could see a difference in a lot of them. On the weekend, I didn't see that. And hearing some of the comments about how much they're enjoying the training, to me, being a former rugby league player, means that when players are enjoying a pre-season, I've got concerns they're not working hard enough.
And that's they've got to be working harder than anyone.
Well, they have to. They have to. And so that's...
I never enjoyed pre-season.
Me either.
I enjoyed the end of it.
Yeah.
Because I was fit and, it's kind of a bond. The harder you train, the better you feel, right? Yeah. And you're with your teammates.
If you look back at all those years that you played in grand finals or final series,
it
all correlates to your preseason.
It does.
I'm a big believer of that.
That's why the Bulldogs are a great club. You know?
Build so much trust in the blokes around you because of what they're willing to put themselves through in those 40-degree days in 2.5-hour training sessions.
It shows your character, right?
Absolutely. So at first glance, and as I said, I hope I'm wrong because I really like Steve Kearney as a bloke, but his record's not great as a coach, both at Parramatta and at the Warriors. And given what we saw from the Nines, leads me to think that they're in for a tough year.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, their squad is a concern too. You know, they rely so heavily on Fusatua and Mamalo and Tuivasa Sheik. They are their heartbeat. You know, they rely on them coming out of their own end. And then they rely on these guys who run 300 metres a game to then come up with spectacular plays down the other end of the field. You cannot consistently put so much pressure on those.
I read a yarn today by Kearney saying that they want to save Tuivasa Sheik.
They have to.
But if they do that, Braith, do they have the forwards?
They don't.
Do they have the forwards?
They don't.
To make up for what Tuivasa Sheik does?
That's the problem.
But I mean, we've got young Egan as their nine. No Isaac Luke there. I know Tavanga can go in there at a pinch, and I like him as a player. You got Nick Arima, who in my opinion is a 14 and a good 14, but he's not your controlling half. And from what I saw with Blake Green the other day, he looks too slow to touch,
which is what happens when you get old.
That's right.
They're in some trouble. All right, I'm with you. They're under pressure, and if you had to pick one coach, unfortunately, it looks like it'll be him, but we'll find out. Which player's under the most pressure?
Well, there's a few, isn't there?
I think the guy we spoke about earlier is under a fair bit. And
Ben Hunt.
Well, yeah. And we've spoken about a few, but yeah. Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah.
Only because of the circumstances, but
yeah,
maybe he shouldn't be, but he is.
I would say the two that I think are under the most pressure would be Hunt and Johnson.
Johnson.
They're the two that
Fair
I
call.
Because I believe they can be so influential in their side's results. I really do. I really, really do. I thought at times last year when Johnson was at his potential and his combination with Britton Nakora was superb, really good. But then as you touched on before, it's few and far between at times and the Sharks need a big year. Now, for the Dragons, Benny Hunt, this is his third season now at the helm in that number seven. So he's got to have control that side and he's got to deliver.
Yeah, I think they're two players that have had their chances. That's that's why the pressure builds.
Yeah.
Because it's where to next after this.
Yep.
You know, if it doesn't go right for Benny, it doesn't go right for Sean, you know, there's other players that are under pressure, but those two guys you'd think, like you just said, but Croft's under some pressure.
I was just about to say
Croft's
another one.
And then what about Flanagan at the Roosters? Is he not under pressure because of the players he's got around him?
I think probably not. And the system that they've got in place.
It's funny, isn't it? Like he's a young kid, but he's going to the Premier Club.
Yeah.
And he's in the number seven.
Yeah.
Or six, whatever they do there, right?
Yeah.
But you probably feel like he's not under that much pressure.
Big shoes to fill.
Why?
Yeah. I think that
stands tall for the Roosters. I mean, it shows.
I think when you look at who he's got to play to, you know, when you've got Tedesco and you've got Tupou and you've got Brett Morris and, you know, you've got Keary outside you, Joey Manu, you know, so.
He's got under the radar, hasn't he?
He has.
Under the radar.
He has.
He's just over there and.
He has. Well,
Barcelona, where are they?
It'd be great, wouldn't it, to see the World Club Challenge.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Should be good.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the top eight. I hate, you know what, this is the hardest gig. Like
every year.
I hate it.
It's the worst part of
it. It's like, you know, I mean, in December, January, people are coming to me, mate, who's going to win?
Yeah.
Give me your top eight. I don't bloody know.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell until they kick off, right?
So much goes into it. So much. You need so much.
And how wrong do we get it? Like, I mean, you look at, I shouldn't say it, but I don't ever want to look at my top eight that I give now at the end of the year.
Horrific, isn't it?
It's a disaster. All right, while we're at it then,
let's
who you got me?
I can go to the Raiders, Roosters, Eels, Storm as my top four.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go, I liked what I saw from Penrith the other day.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked what I saw from Penrith the other day. I think Manly will annoy some sides again. I think them and the Sharks.
You got the Sharks in the eight?
I've got them around seventh, I do. It's the quality. It's the quality in their roster that makes me think that they're capable.
Mm.
That's And then the Rabbitohs.
You've got them as well, eh?
Yeah, I've got the Rabbitohs in there. So I'll go Raiders, Roosters, Storm, Eels, Panthers, Rabbitohs, Sharks, Manly.
It's so hard. Like, I mean, I was looking
well,
at...
Well, that I think 5 to 10 yeah, it's is a logjam.
A logjam.
Yep.
I was looking at it last night. I mean, Roosters.
The Broncos should improve.
Yeah. Roosters.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yep.
Para.
Yep.
I think we'll have a great year.
Mm.
I've got them top 4. Melbourne.
Yep.
Top 4.
Yep.
Then, for me, it starts to get a bit tricky. I'd have Canberra.
Yep.
But I'm still, like I said the earlier, yeah, good, I'm still but, concerned about Canberra. Yeah. You know, the hangover. I just, you know, and it's not just the hangover. It's the change of positions in key positions that I think they will handle, but it's still a question mark.
Yep.
So it's hard to put a team in the top 4 for me if I've got questions still.
Yeah.
You know, again, this time of the year, very hard to tell. So I'm going to have, I love Canberra. Cowboys.
Mm, I like the Cowboys too. I just... Again, they're another one like the Broncos that could quite easily nudge the Panthers or the Sharks out of the 8 or even Manly.
So hard. You know, I liked what I saw from Penrith as well, but I just don't, again, I'm not sure I can put them in.
Mm.
Big question mark over Souths. I'll whack Manly in there because I thought Manly with Desi,
yeah,
they just get it done. And they've got key positions covered. Guys that are match winners in the spine.
There's no doubt that if they are to be a dint in the competition, they need a bit of better luck with injury. I mean, Fanua Blake and those guys already having shoulder surgery over the summer is not great because he was awesome last year.
Yeah.
But they need a full season from Tommy, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. And I think you'll be right. I think you'll be right this year. I'm going to put Broncos in at 7.
Yep.
So I've got one more spot to fill.
Mm.
Newcastle, South, Titans. Penrith. Who?
Titans.
What did you have been yours?
I'm just.
Why are you throwing them out there now?
Tossing them out there for
you. Why are you trying to throw them out of the bus? Oh, the poor Titans. Nah, I can't have it. Just the depth again there with the Titans. I reckon Holbrook could do a good job with them. And I like
what I saw from the Dogs the other day. I just no foreigns are concerned.
It is, and the Dogs will try their guts out. You know, they'll compete every week. We saw that last year, but it's just the roster where it's the strike power and. You know, the big guns that they lack.
Yeah.
That could cost them. I don't know. I mean, is it South, Newcastle or Penrith?
Yeah, well, Newcastle, I mean, if they can settle on a 6, they've got a pretty handy side, don't they? Because I think Bradley will really add to Pearce and Ponga.
I'll put Newcastle in there.
The Castrians all love you.
Yeah, that's all. Just so I get a free feed if I go up there or something. I like Pearcey too.
Yeah.
Premiers, Mick. Last question, mate. Who's going to win the comp?
I'll go the Raiders.
You're going with the Raiders?
I'm going the Raiders. I think they can do it, yeah.
Okay.
I do.
I'm going to go Smokey. I'll go Para.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll go Para. I mean, again, if you ask me if the Roosters can...
Are you opening a restaurant in Green Street or something, are you? I mean, you opened a barber.
I'm going to add a restaurant in Parramatta and a bar in Newcastle, I think, after this. We'll go there. I don't know about the Roosters, mate. I think they can do it, but I'm just not sure if they will.
Yeah.
Bit of a tough gig.
I said that this time last year, and they proved me wrong. It was a hell of a year for them. So whilst ever they got Tedesco and Keary and Hargreaves and Tokiaho and Cordner.
They'll be there. All right, Mick, thanks for joining the countdown to 2020.
Mate, good to see you.
That was good fun, mate.
Yeah.
Do it again soon.
Hand back as well.
Oh, look all right, eh? I'm due for a trip to Bali.